It's Darren Copeland, weeknights 8 to 10, only on Mile High Sports.
And welcome back to the Darren Copeland Show. Just the last
home
segment.
Day.
Taking it all the way till 10 o'clock for the Homegrown Bros Sports Show.
Homegrown Sports Show with the Homegrown Bros.
Yes.
My goodness, man.
That works. I said that.
The Bros Grow Show.
I said the Homegrown Bros.
It's a Homegrown Sports Show.
Homegrown Sports with the Homegrown Bros.
Homegrown Sports with the Homegrown Bros.
That's what I said.
No, not really.
No, that's exactly what I said.
It was the Homegrown Bros Sports Show.
See how that feels? See how that feels?
Yeah.
See how that feels? You do that to me all the time.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, see?
What? Homegrown Bros and the Homegrown... No. Oh, what?
Yeah, see? No, you can't get it.
What? I do that to you all the time?
I like the idea that... So, folks, you don't understand. Off the air, Darren has to get a lot of stuff off his chest.
The best part about it, it's on my mind.
It's on your mind. He's got to get it off his chest. And like a couple, like two breaks ago, you just had to get the pun out before you exploded.
And yes. Then, because if I don't do puns, like I'm sorry, I apologize for it. But if I don't, then it's just me blurting out weird words.
But then you were just reading puns.
Yes.
During the break. And I mean, I hate puns.
Yes.
But I find it interesting that you get so much amusement from them, because you legit laugh hard at some of these puns. I mean,
I'm a linguist. I am a linguist.
Listen, I love the English language too, but it doesn't make me laugh like out loud.
Well, maybe you're just not as cunning as I am.
No, I understand each of those puns. I just find it fascinating. And I want to just put record on sometime so people can see how much genuine joy you get from actually reading these awful one-liner puns.
What a terrible world you must live in.
No, I like funny.
Well, no,
funny's good.
No, listen, because, you know, when you're discriminating and like, oh, so unfunny, like what a terrible world. Like the more I find lots of things funny.
Me too.
I mean, I find things that are very childish funny, and I find things that are very highbrow funny. I find things more funny than you. I am less discriminating with my humor. And that makes my world better.
I don't know.
Yes.
It might. I mean, if you can laugh at more things, I suppose.
Yes.
I like being cynical.
Well,
and
have fun with that.
Feeling superior.
I mean, if you want to ride your bicycle everywhere, you can do that.
Oh, no. I can't stand bicycles.
Well, no, I mean, you're being cynical. I mean, that's cynical, isn't it? That's what you're a cynical?
Really?
Well, no. You missed it the first time. I had to come back and get it. I had to come back and get it, put it back in the basket.
I thought you were referring to being superior as opposed to being cynical, not realizing that your mind had somehow taken the word cynical and attached it to the word cyclical.
Yeah, bicyclical. What?
It's just, again, in awe.
Why?
In awe
why
of
is
the
it awe?
Random connections your brain makes.
But they are connections. It's
well,
not.
They are loosely connections, yes. Because you went cynical to cyclical, which is not the act of riding a bike. It's something that's circular. But then you went from cynical to cyclical to bicycular. It's like a six separation.
Well, I only had two minutes. Now I'm sad, man. I'm sad it's like.
Six separations of Kevin Bacon. You went
just
one,
sad.
Two, three.
I mean, I'm
Why
sad.
Why are you sad? I actually want people to see how much
no,
joy
because,
you get
no, because
from
you just,
these puns.
Because it's just like, you know, all I want to do is laugh and make people laugh and funny. And I'm sorry that not everyone makes me laugh, but these are things that make me laugh and something. It's why it's the experience and not the project or like the whatever structure it is. Because I don't know. But you know what? I like to be happy. And then, you know, everyone just gets grumpy. Grumpy. Oh, my God. The puns are terrible.
No, the puns are terrible. But that was not what the point of this was. The point of this was to take video to show people how much genuine joy you get from puns.
I feel like
so
you're making
maybe,
fun of me.
I might be mocking you slightly, but it's not really making fun of you. But it might help the audience understand why you like puns so much. Because I don't think most people care for puns.
Most people are stupid then.
No. Most people are very smart.
No.
Actually, that's not true. Most people are stupid. But not you, our wonderful, wonderful listeners. You're not those people.
What do you mean, those people?
That's exactly right. I want
one-liner
to see what kind of joy you get from puns. Because you laugh out loud and you laugh hard at these puns.
Listen, my mother was an English teacher, and she taught me that the pun, okay, created by Shakespeare.
Listen.
Shakespearean.
I don't care for puns. I find them to be not funny. Doesn't mean that they can't be clever. There's a difference in my world between clever and funny.
The first book my mother ever gave me was Get Thee to a Punnery.
Yeah, well, that explains a lot. It does.
And that's spectacular. They're spectacular, man.
They are good puns.
Listen, that is the whole...
But Shakespearean puns aren't necessarily comedic. They're clever. They're trips of words.
The whole purpose of it is the cleverness of how far you can reach to make something in very few words mean something completely different and opposite. And it's very difficult to, in fact, do in very few words. You know, lots of people can tell humorous anecdotes that go on and on and on and on and on.
Well, see, that's the difference. I like stories.
I like stories, too.
I like stories that make me laugh.
I like stories that make me laugh, too. But you know what I also like? I like being able to have someone make me laugh every 10 to 15 seconds.
See?
Because that makes my abs hurt.
But you know it's coming. If you know the joke is coming, it's not funny. That's what I find. So if you tell a story,
most
you can tell a story.
People didn't know that joke was coming. You saw it.
What? Make a mint? If you couldn't see that joke coming, you were blind, deaf, and dead probably. Like, come on.
Is that how you treat our audience? Did you just call them dead?
Well,
and blind?
If they couldn't see that coming, people.
It's radio. You can't see anything coming.
That one was telegraphed.
Oh, coming.
Yes.
Again, coming. My God. Now, see, flustered. Now it's my turn. Flustered.
So earlier in the show, good. This is great. Earlier in the show, Darren and I were having this conversation about whether athletes should be paid or not. And we genuinely disagree about whether or not athletes should be paid. I don't believe they should be. And a lot of this stems from the fact College athletes, yes. Thank you, Alex. That is actually a really good point. College athletes should be paid because everyone's losing their mind over the fact that Nick Saban's getting this huge salary. And they're like, why is he getting so much money and our college athletes aren't getting anything? And I'm like,
I knew it was college athletes.
I don't believe college athletes should be paid. But Darren has a completely different point of view, which is fine.
Yeah.
And you have an interesting idea on how to let college athletes get paid.
Not anymore.
But I don't find it to be viable simply because when you start paying college athletes, it opens itself up to cheating. And it puts all of the big schools at such an advantage over the smaller schools that you basically have created a caste system.
How many students do you think at the average university does the university pay to do things for the university?
How many students?
Yes.
Gosh, probably thousands.
Yes.
Yeah.
So how come
because
football
they're not on scholarship.
Some of them are.
If you're on an academic scholarship, you're limited to the number of jobs or the kind of jobs you can do at the school.
But you know, you can work
certain jobs, yes, that they can pay you for. There are other jobs that aren't open to you, but yes, you're still allowed to work.
Why do regular students have more rights than athletes?
I think because the system hasn't been abused when it comes to mathletes or physicists or librarians or
really?
Phys eds. Yeah, you're not promising some future engineer $1 million a year to come do physics at your university. Whereas that happens in college sports.
Not millions, but you know, Thomas Cech, who is at University of Colorado, was recruited very hard to go west.
As an undergrad.
No, as a Nobel Prize winner.
Yeah, that's different. We're not talking about like people who've already achieved
but you're talking about guys who, you know, do all, I mean, people get paid for the work they do
at an upper higher level when they've already achieved something great in their field.
Students get paid all the time, whether it's working in the UMC or doing all these other stuff. They get paid for work they do.
And you know what? That's fine. Then let football players work at the UMC. And then let's make
sure. They don't. They work on Sundays. Or Saturdays, rather. They work on Saturdays, bringing people into the seats so that, you know, people do not understand, you know, when we, and we're talking about Nick Saban getting, you know,
$11 million.
Yeah, okay. So $7 million of his normal contract and $4 million signing bonus.
Mm-hmm.
So he got $11 million all in one chunk, which probably saved them actually a lot of money.
Yep.
Okay. But the amount of money that Alabama football brings into the University of Alabama single-handedly covers the operating expenses for Alabama.
Sure.
Okay. So they are their job. All right, the football player's job is
not the
way
football player's job.
Okay, the football program's job, of which the students are a integral part.
They're part of it. Yeah,
yep.
Sure.
Are
and those
working
players
and they're
get a
making
benefit.
Money and they
get a benefit from it. They get food, housing, education. They also benefit from all the new equipment and all the upgrades to the buildings and everything that the other students get a benefit from. That money goes to do. If they want some pocket cash, they can go work at the UMC, just like any other student. That way we know, or at least have a better idea of whether there's cheating taking place, because I guarantee you start letting players get money on their own, we're going right back to 1950s, 60s, 70s when cheating ran rampant in college football, which is why it exists today. You can't do it unless you're prepared to just watch these guys like hawks, because they're going to cheat.
Great, here comes a comeback right now. Dang Padres.
Well, it's the fifth inning. It's about the time they do it.
It's Darren Copeland, weeknights 8 to 10, only on Mile High Sports.
My friends is quite yucky, but I have to admit that the ladies get smitten, admiring how sharply...